So when Pastor Kurt asked me about doing this message today, I thought, you know, I've never done a message in a series before. I've always done it something where the Lord puts something on my heart and really goes after me for a couple weeks and works on my heart about it, and then I share it with you. But this is the first time I've ever done a message in a series. So it was really neat, but I looked, and when he told me what passage of scripture we were going to be in, I looked at 1 John 4. I looked at all the stuff that was in 1 John 4, and I have really been enjoying going through the book of 1 John with you. It's been wonderful. With a guy's study with Sam in the morning, the Sunday night study, it's when you miss out on one part of it, it's you miss it. And it's just been a great time of fellowship and a great time of just looking into God's Word. But when I looked into 1 John 4, it's like, there's a lot of stuff in there. All this about, you know, greater is he who is in you than he that's in the world. Talking about even just spirits, the spirits of error, all kind of stuff that's in that. And I thought, we could spend months on this. And I got to try to put this into one day. And it hit me, just this constant, this undercurrent kind of that we've been talking about since we started going over 1 John, was this idea of how God loves us. And today, I just wanted to ask a question of you. Do you feel God's loved? Do you feel loved? Love is very important, obviously, to God. In the Old Testament, the concept of love is mentioned 250 times. In the New Testament, much shorter, it's mentioned 234 times. In John's writings alone, we have the Gospel of John, then we have the small books, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and then his writing of Revelation. Just in those small books, he mentions the concept of love 72 times. So it's pretty important. Love is pretty important to God. Do you feel God's love? Do you feel God's love because of what you're going through? What God's been bringing you through? What God saved you from? What God's blessed you with? Or do you just hope he loves you and you hope to feel his love? We really need to take a closer look at our relationship with God. Who he is. Is he this old, careful watchmaker that finely tuned the universe? And it's pretty evident. I don't think there's too many people on the planet anymore that don't understand that the universe wasn't there, and then all of a sudden, within a fraction of a second, bang, it's there. Now, I think it takes a whole lot more faith to believe that just all happened than a loving creator set everything in motion. Everything from the idea of a hand moving to a sunset to nature around us. I think it takes a lot more faith to believe that this just happened. But do we believe that God was this creator that set everything up and just waits for us to screw it up, to screw up the order of things? Well, David screwed it up again, screwed my plan up again, so I'm going to have to go fix it. I'm going to have to teach that guy a lesson at some point because he keeps doing it. Or do we feel his active, ongoing, parent-like love? Think about that. Parent-like love. I was thinking about what it means to be a parent, what it means to have parent-like love. And I think there are a couple points to make with that, what it means to be a parent and what that love looks like. I believe just like a parent to us, God wants what's best for us. He's our Heavenly Father. He wants what's best for us. My boys may not know that I have their best interest in mind. No comment, Ben. They might not think that I have their best interest in mind sometimes, but I do. God has our best interest in mind, even when we don't see it. God loves us enough to discipline us, but he delights with decisions that show we are his kids. We've been spending a great deal of time talking about God's love and our love. In 1 John 2:9, a few weeks ago, we talked about how we cannot love God without loving our neighbors, without loving our brother, without loving our sister. Can't do it. That parent love is unconditional. You know, there are people on death row right now that have parents that love them very much. It's unconditional. It's wonderful to be loved. It's also wonderful to show love. Are you showing love to somebody else? Are you showing love to others? If love is missing from your life, a vital part of your life is missing. Love is an essential part of life. 1 John 4, that's the part, just tiny part of that chapter that we're going to be talking about today. 1 John 4, chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, tells us, is it up there? I'm not sure if it's, Caleb, is it up there? Okay. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Everybody who knows love, and everybody who loves knows God. This helps us understand whether we know God or not. Where are you in that verse? Where are we in that verse? Do you feel love? Do you show love? We've been discussing how love is much more than just an emotion. It's a commitment to another. It's a commitment to others. Love can do things like discern, like a radar, discern true love from others. Are they telling you they love you, or are they showing you that they love you? If you want to see love, look at God's story. God starts loving us in Genesis chapter 1. And he loves us all through 66 books of that Bible, of that love story, all through Revelation. And God's still loving us. He wants us to know how to love each other and to love him. God did not create us to be without love. A few months ago, I had an opportunity to give a message about dealing with love, and it was kind of from my perspective, working with some very troubled kids through the Adelphi program, through WICSE, and we talked about studies that were being done, and what it meant to be loved, and what kids, but what people are missing when they're not loved. We talked about that. We talked about what love enables us to do, what love enables us to feel. We talked about three major points, three things. Love enables us to feel complete. We don't have to look for this and look for this and look for completion here and there if we're loved. When people are loved, they don't have to chase this breeze and go after this person and go after this substance when people are loved. Love enables us to feel competent. I can do this. It's this idea of confidence that I can accomplish this if I'm loved. And even if I fail this time, I'm loved. I have that feeling of competence. And love allows us to feel worthy. When we're loved, we feel worthy. We don't have to run around and struggle to prove ourselves to anyone. We don't have to do that. We don't have to worry about, I have to prove myself. I have to be good enough for this. I have to be good enough for that part, for that person. Love allows us to feel that sense of completion, that sense of competence, that sense of being worthy. I want you to think about love. When we love others, God does the impossible. We've been involved in a missions conference with the boys' school, and we talked to some missionaries from Mexico. We talked to some missionaries from Turkey. We talked to some missionaries from New York City. We talked about some mission. We talked to some missionaries from where else? China, all over the place. And we've heard about the impossible that God's doing. See, mankind, we can pull off some great things sometimes, right? We can pull off some great things. But the impossible is God's domain. When we love other people, God does the impossible. And we're seeing that around the world. When we go all in, God uses us. He has a purpose. No matter how small, no matter how young we are, no matter how old we are, no matter how old we are, no matter how rich we are, no matter how poor we are, she knew it was coming. No matter how crippled we are, no matter how afraid we are, don't try to use an excuse why you can't be used by God. People have tried it all through the Bible, all through history. People have tried to use that excuse, and God goes through that pretty quickly. God does amazing things when we love. There's nothing more fulfilling than to do what God has called you to do, to be used by God. So how will God use you to show His love? God sees people differently. We've seen that over and over and over again. But God sees people differently than we do. God doesn't choose the cream of the crop. Think about His disciples, who Jesus chose for His disciples. Bunch of fishermen, a scumbag tax collector, cheat, a thief, a person who was involved in murders. Think about the Bible. Who does God use? The kind of people that God uses. He definitely doesn't pick the cream of the crop. But He's chosen people, and He chooses people that are willing to be used by Him and makes them the cream of the crop. We serve a loving God who uses us in spite of us. Not because we are so amazing, but uses us because He knows when we're willing, He can do the impossible with us. A lot of people in this room are moving into a time, a part of their lives, when they're going to be learning new lessons about love, about themselves, about others. It's an exciting time. It's a wonderful time, but it also can be a very, very dangerous time. Rarely will you ever find something as beautiful as one person giving himself or giving herself to another person in a godly way, with patience, with trust, with love. But it's getting tougher and tougher to see that, to find that. One of the most important lessons, and we're going to talk about it a little bit more in a second, but one of the most important lessons about love that we can ever learn, we learn from our Heavenly Father, that love is selfless. Again, we're going to talk about that in a second more, but love is selfless. It's not about what I want or what I can get from someone else, but what I can give. When we meet people in relationships that are always seeking, always taking, always asking, always demanding what we can do for them and how we can change for them and what we can become for them, understand that this is not a a very healthy, loving relationship that you're getting in. Be careful. So what is love? What does love look like? We're going to talk about a couple points about what love is. And we've just started talking about one a little bit, but I hope you think through this. And we learn in God's Word, bless you, we learn a lot in God's Word about how He sees love and what love means. The first point, love is generous. Again, we just said love is selfless. What is best for someone else? If you have a friend that likes to use a lot of the I, the me, the myself, the my stuff, just wait for it. You're going to hear it. You're going to hear that. Well, can you help me here? What can you do for me? And by the way, Hans, if you say, I don't have any friends like that, but then you might want to think about it a little bit. But if you notice then that your friends are very good at making quick exits, don't look now, but you might be that guy. So I know that that's not the case with anybody in here. But if you're around those people that just, it's all about them, that's tough to be around, isn't it? Love is selfless. How exciting it is to show kindness to another person with no expectation of getting paid back. Especially when the only person that knows, the only people that know about what you were able to do is you and God. Think about what's more fulfilling in your life. Is it more fulfilling to get something that you like, or is it more fulfilling to find out that there's a need in somebody's life? And understand or find out that you can fulfill that need. You can help with that need by showing love for that person. That's what love is. Love is selfless. Love gives because it's love, not to get paid back. Love is forgiving. There are some people that live their entire lives with bitterness and resentment, holding that around, carrying that around. Sometimes it's from childhood. I know people in their 60s that are carrying a grudge against somebody, and you think about it, that person's been dead for 20 years, and you're still carrying a grudge against them. But you hear things from people going, well, you don't know what they did. You don't know what she said to me. You don't know what he did. Yeah, but what about what Jesus did? What about what Jesus did on that cross? You're not going to find anybody who did for you what he did for you. And a second part of that idea of forgiving, not carrying grudges and just letting that go is I thought about something. The Lord put something on my heart. You understand, there's not anybody. Don't think that there's anybody in this room that doesn't have somebody else holding a grudge against you for something. You ever think about that? He could be sitting right next to you. But there's not anybody in here that doesn't have somebody else holding a grudge against you. Mother Teresa died in like 1997. And you know, she died with somebody mad at her for cutting them off in traffic. She might have had a van full of kids that she was taking to get something to eat. But there's not anybody that doesn't have somebody out there holding a grudge. That's a lot of weight to be carrying around. That's not necessary. Love forgives. Love also wants to be given. Love is either there or it's not there. There's no kinda. You're not ever kinda loving someone else. It's either all choked off and doesn't flow, or it can't be stopped. It's bubbling up, it's welling up, it's bursting. And once it starts, it's very tough to stop. Because the more you give, the less of a sacrifice it becomes. You can't wait to do it. If you don't know how to feel love and show love, there is nothing in the world, you can try, and people do all the time, but there's nothing in the world that can take that place. Love hurts when someone else hurts. The natural response of someone who knows how to love is to reach out when someone's hurting, to reach out in prayer, with a meal, with a hug, with their time, with being willing to build, to fix, to clean up. When someone's hurting, you just have to do something. There are spiritual gifts, and we talk about those from time to time. There are a lot of spiritual gifts. But the gift of mercy is always the first one on the scene. The person that has that gift of love is the person that doesn't say, "Can I help?" That person is already there doing it. That person is already helping. Oftentimes in tragedy, it can be very uncomfortable for people if they don't know or understand love. There are people that need to walk away, not because they don't care, but because they just can't handle it. They don't know how to express love to the hurting. It can be awkward. But love, true love, hurts when someone else hurts. Love does not keep account. This is something that I think in our society, in our world, it's so hard to grasp sometimes, so hard to get. But love does not keep account. I do this for you, and then you do this for me. That's not love. If you're keeping track, it's not love. Think about Christmas time. Don't deny it. A lot of us do it. Most of us do it. I do it. Most of us do it. When we're buying gifts for somebody, what's the first question you ask in your head? What did they get for me last year? Or what did this person get for me? And sometimes we make lists based on, well, what did this person get for me? Or who am I not going to hurt their feelings by getting them something, by getting them these gifts? Who am I not going to offend or hurt their feelings by doing this? That isn't giving back, that's paying them back. In love, there is only giving with no expectation of return. Love can be painful. You can love someone who doesn't love you. When that happens, you can choose to either give up, tap out, I can't take anymore, or you can choose to love that person, forgive that person, love that person some more, forgive them again, love them some more, and go on and on and on. There are people that you can love for the rest of your lives, and they won't love you. We see that all the time. It doesn't mean we don't love. That doesn't matter if they love you. You're loving. You get it. You're doing what God tells us to do. You know how to love, and that's what counts. Love does not discriminate. If I truly love you, it's because you are who you are. Not because of who you could be or because you could be this certain way or part of you is in this certain way. I love you because of you. Jesus loves me, period. Not because, get ready for this, Ben, not because of my winning personality, my staggering good looks, or my charming wit that Ben really enjoys a lot. It's not because of me and how God and all the things that I have to bring to the table that God loves me. It's because God loves me for who I am. It's hard for us to get that sometimes. We've been involved in the ice pop ministry and things like that. And it's really cool to when you hand something to somebody and they say to you, "Well, how much is that?" It's free. Well, yeah, but what's the donation? There's no donation. We don't take donations. After what Jesus does for us and the way he loves us, there's no way I can ever repay him. There's no way I can ever pay for that love, pay for what he's done for me. And that's our way of just kind of showing that to other people. He loves me because of me. And God wants us to show that to others, to practice. Love is patient. That's tough. Love knows how to wait. See, lust doesn't know how to wait. Love knows how to wait because there are things in life, there are things that God has intended for us that are worth waiting for. Love is patient. Relationships get very dangerous when there's not patience. Love is a choice. We said a second ago that God loves us because of who I am. But it goes a little beyond that. We don't love somebody because of who they are. We're actually to love them because of who we are. Love is a choice. It's based on who you are. What God wants to accomplish in and through your life has nothing to do with anybody else. The perfect picture of love is the cross. The perfect example of love is that he loved us, loved the world, when nobody loved him. When you love and nothing seems to happen, keep loving. Something's going to happen. Folks, understand that there's nothing that we can ever do in this life that will make us more like Jesus than when we love. Do you get that? You will never be able to do anything in life that will make you closer to God, closer to Jesus, than when you love. Love has tremendous effects. True love is contrary to today's society. We think about why that is. Because it's not all about me. This notion of liberalism today, it's all about you. Don't let anybody tell you what's right. Don't let anybody tell you what's wrong. It's all you, man. It's all about you. There's this little thing called the New Testament that is in direct contradiction to that idea. Jesus made it very clear that there is right, there is wrong. There's no, my intentions were this, and Jesus made it very clear there is right and there is wrong. And he has an awesome way of being a loving, genuine, real friend. Not condoning, but not condemning. Just being real. So simply put, do you know how to love? 1 John tells us, if we want to know God, we must know how to love. So how do you learn how to love? Well, it's not by looking in a self-help book or by looking on a magazine on a shelf. It's by looking at the Bible. And more importantly than talking to a friend or a neighbor or a family member or even a therapist, talk to God. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 and 2 tells us there are a whole lot of things that we can have in this life. But if you don't have love, the others really don't matter. You can have all the toys that money can buy in life. And God's word tells us if you don't love, you have nothing. If you don't have love, you have nothing. Let's pray. Father, you are a God who loves us. You want what's best for us. Lord, you show us your love for us day in and day out, second by second of every day. And we thank you for loving us. And we thank you for giving us the ability to love each other and love you. Lord, your word tells us how to love our neighbors, how to love our brother, how to love our sister, how to love the people that are in so many cases unlovable, it seems. The ugly, the people that just are doing things in their lives that we go, what are you thinking? What are you doing? You give us example after example of how to love that person and why that's so important. Because you see people differently than we do. Lord, give us the eyes to love. Give us the eyes to see people the way you see them. And allow us to love the way you want us to love. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.